Here we are today at church, right? What if instead of meeting here today, we met at Highland Forest? Could we still say, here we are today at church? Absolutely, because the church is not the building. The local church, which is what we are here, is the people. Now often we say, and I say it too, I'll meet you at 5:30 over at the church, or we're going to hold this event at the church. But what we really mean by that is we will meet at the church building. Truth is, the church is the people. Naomi's home church back in 95, 96, 97, something like that, held their morning service, southwestern Minnesota. Everybody went home. The church, the pastor took out their guest speaker for lunch, came back from lunch, and the church building was gone, because a tornado had come through shortly after the service. They still had a church. They just didn't have a church building for a while. They met at the local high school. The church is the people. The word church comes from the Greek word ekklesia, and it means an assembly. Specifically, here's what a local church is, or supposed to be. A local church is a called out assembly of people, called out of the world to come together and assemble. And you know, for many Christians, for many believers who have trusted Christ as Savior, church attendance has become optional. In some cases, even undesirable. And once a Christian reaches that point, there is little or no effort put into the investment of the local church. Now, in our series on spiritual investment, we're going to take a few weeks, several weeks, to look at investing into your local church. Now, mind you, just showing up takes some investment, doesn't it? Just getting up on Sunday mornings when you'd rather not, and making it to church to just be here takes investment of yourself to some degree. But you know, that's just a start in investing yourself into church. Now, since the church is the people, then to invest yourself in church is to invest yourself in people, and that's risky, isn't it? Because when you invest in people, you stick your neck out. And when you stick your neck out, it might get chopped. When you reach your hand out, it might get bit. In fact, I can tell you, if you're going to invest yourself in church, you most certainly will get bit. There's no might about it. And for that reason, church for some has become undesirable. But for you, Christian, church is not optional, okay? This morning, I'm going to give you two sound and biblical reasons to invest yourself into your local church. First is found in Ephesians 5:25 when Paul writes, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." Number one reason to invest in the church, because Christ invested himself for the church. Christ did that. To give himself means that he sacrificed himself. It's really interesting. Ephesians 5 is about marriage. It's really all about the relationship between the husband and the wife. And verse 25 is the command to the husbands, hey, husbands, love your wives. And then as an example of how to do that, what does God use? Christ's love for the church. It's a sacrificial love. It's a giving of himself for the sake of the church. So you see, when you reject Christ's church, you are rejecting that which Christ sacrificed himself for. You shouldn't take that lightly. Okay? That's a big deal. Now, some will limit this verse to the universal church. What do we mean by that as opposed to the local church? Well, the universal church is simply a reference to all people who, since the day of Pentecost, 2,000 years ago, shortly after Christ resurrected, to all people who have trusted in the death and resurrection of Christ to save them from their sins. Okay? All those people all the way until someday when Christ returns. That makes up what the Bible calls the body of Christ, or the universal church. Okay? So, if you've put your trust in Christ alone to get you to heaven, then you are part of the universal church. It's also called the invisible church by some, because it's not something that's tangible that you can put your hands on or see. So some Christians will look at, some Christians who don't like to come to the local church like ours will read Ephesians 5:25 and say, well, Christ gave himself for the church for sure, but he just gave himself for the universal church, the universal body of Christ, not necessarily the local church, so therefore church is optional. Well, if that's your take on this, then consider these things. In Matthew 18, Christ himself gave instructions to take very difficult conflicts to the church. Well, he wasn't talking about the universal church, because you can't do that. He was talking about the local church, like ours. In the book of Acts, it was the local church that made such important decisions like choosing deacons, ordaining pastors, sending missionaries. It wasn't just the pastors of those churches that made those decisions. It was the local body as a whole. The local church had that responsibility. The very fact that the Bible details the offices of deacon in the office of the pastor makes very clear that Christ meant for there to be local churches with pastors and deacons, which God appoints to serve in these churches. Did you know of the 27 books of the New Testament, at least 16 of those books are addressed and written to local churches. At least 3 more of those New Testament books were addressed to the pastors of local churches. And the book of Revelation addresses no less than 7 local churches, all within the first 3 chapters. It would appear that Christ and his word places great emphasis on the local church. Wouldn't you agree? So yeah, Christ gave himself for the universal body of believers, that is, all believers who have trusted Christ from the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago all the way to the return of Christ when he comes back to claim his church, which should be within about 10 minutes, and everybody in between. Christ gave himself for that, absolutely. The local church assembles because of the fact that Christ gave himself for this body of believers. We're here today because Christ gave himself. We ought not take this lightly, because the local church is not man's creation. This is Christ's creation. He made this. The idea of assembling in the name of Jesus Christ was not a human idea. It's a godly one. And that being the case, the local church is worth investing yourself in, difficult as it may be. Okay? Let's look at number 2. Here you can just flip back a page or two to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And here we'll see that number 2, here's a second really good biblical reason to invest yourself in one of Christ's local churches. And it is this: because your investment fulfills the purpose of the local church. Your investment fulfills the whole reason we're doing this. Why are we doing this? Why are we coming together? We've already said it's a God idea, not a human idea. And when was the last time you knew God to do anything without a reason? God doesn't do anything without a purpose. We do. We do that all the time. Your kids do. How many times have you asked your kid, why did you do that? No, I don't know. You know, we can be very purposeless. God does nothing without a purpose. So when he created the local church, he had a reason in mind, right? There's a reason for this, and we ought to understand that reason lest we abuse that reason. What happens when you misapply the purpose of something? You damage it. When I was a little kid, my dad had full set of auto mechanics tools, and when I was a little guy, I used to get into that toolbox. Well, back then, do you know what torque wrenches looked like? They looked like really crude swords, okay, to a little boy. A torque wrench is a precision instrument, and there I am fighting with it like it's a sword. My dad said, hey, what are you doing? Put that away. Okay. Misapplication for the purpose of that tool ruins the tool. Same thing for the church. So let's just understand what it's about, and you can understand the purpose of the church right out of the God's word, Ephesians 4. He says in Ephesians 4, verse 11, he, that is Jesus Christ, he himself gave, he's talking about giving to the local church, he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, we don't have apostles and prophets anymore. Their job was completed when the word of God was completed. But they had a role at the beginning of the church age. We still have evangelists. We still have pastors and teachers. They still have a role. Why did he give all of these roles to the local church? Well, he says in verse 11, or verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. There it is. The purpose of the local church, folks, is to benefit believers, saints, to equip the saints. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are called a saint. I know the world doesn't understand that. The world thinks that a saint is somebody who has just been so exceptionally well-behaved, they've achieved some kind of status or title as a saint. That's not what God says. God says we are not well-behaved by nature. We're sinners. But the sinner who trusts in Christ for salvation is called the saint. So many times in Scripture, the New Testament letters are addressed to the saints. They're addressed to believers. And the church is for you, saints. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the local church is for your benefit. It's here for you. You shouldn't talk into the bottle. That must have sounded weird. Okay, it's for you to benefit in two ways. Notice again, verse 12. First of all, for the equipping of the saints, which, or some verses say the perfecting of the saints. So the local church benefits you, Christian, by way of perfecting or equipping. That's what the word means. Don't you hate doing a job and find out you don't have the tools to do it? See, I mentioned my dad's tools. I was spoiled growing up. I took it for granted. Anytime I needed to work on the car, I just went to Dad's tool chest. He had everything I ever needed. It was a professional mechanics collection of tools. And then, so I never bought my own. Then I moved away. Lived in Iowa. I still had cars to work on. You know, kind of long walk to go borrow my dad's tools from Arizona to Iowa. And I had to start that long and slow process of building up my tool collection, right? Because it's a bummer to start a job and not have the tool for the job. When you start to bake or cook something in the kitchen and you start the process and then realize you're missing an ingredient, isn't that frustrating? You try substituting something weird, hoping it works, okay? We hate not having the tools for the job. It's extremely frustrating. Well, you know, living for your Savior, Jesus Christ, takes equipping, doesn't it? Takes a certain tool set, and that's what the local church is for, Christian. It's to equip you with those tools, not only to give you the tools, but to teach you how to use them. Remember, you can't work for your salvation. No tool will ever get you saved. Jesus Christ saves you through your faith. But once you are saved, now you've got work to do. Live for your Savior. That doesn't come just naturally. Okay? You learn these things. You grow in these things. And the church is the place that does exactly that. Doesn't only equip you, but notice, he also says in verse 12, after he says, for the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And we are a local body of Christ. So the local church benefits you by way of edifying. Edify, that's a wonderful word, isn't it? It's a wonderful word. It means to build up and strengthen. I think I told you this back in high school. I was in a class called Outdoor Adventure, and we got to do all kinds of outdoor things and learn outdoor skills. And one of the things that we learned in this, something you learn in the desert, is how to make a water still. A water still, something that will collect water for you from the natural vegetation of the desert. If you find yourself out of water, it takes a few things, it takes a few pieces of equipment. What you do is you dig a hole that's cone-shaped, so it comes to a point at the bottom. You put at the bottom of a hole a cup or a bucket, something that will collect water. You surround the hole by all the vegetation you can find, and the Sonoran Desert is filled with vegetation. There's water in that vegetation. You just got to extract it. So you line your hole, filling it with vegetation. Then you have to have some kind of plastic that covers the hole, okay? Put the plastic over the hole, and that plastic starts to condense and draw all the water out of the vegetation. You put a little rock or something to weight the center of that plastic to a point right above your cup, and what does that water do that's condensating and condensing? It all flows right into your cup, okay? And it's really not a good survival technique. It takes forever to build this thing. You lose more water than you get. But we learned how to do this in Outdoor Adventure, and so we were told, here's how to do it, and tomorrow, next week we're going to do this out in a field across from the school, because my school was out on the edge of the desert. And so you need a partner, and you need this equipment to do it. Well, Glenn Burkhart, otherwise known as Gus, he was my partner. He and I grew up with outdoorsmen. Our dads and grandpas, they were outdoorsmen, and so we grew up in the outdoors. A lot of the guys didn't, and that was the purpose of the class, to expose them to outdoor adventures, outdoor activities. So Glenn and I were always partners. The day we were to build the water still, we forgot. Everybody showed up to class. They had all their equipment. We had nothing. So, oh, man. So as we're walking out of the class, across the campus into the desert, we just started grabbing stuff. As I walked out, I grabbed the trash liner in the teacher's waste bucket. There's my plastic. And in the garbage, he grabbed a paper cup. I think it was like a 7-Eleven cup or something like that. And then we just started grabbing oleanders and brushes and shrubs off the church property, or off the school property, as we're going into the desert just to try to clean. It was a pathetic collection of equipment. And so when everybody built their still, the teacher, Mrs. Barker, she's walking around saying, okay, they did a good job. This is good. This is good. Then she came to ours, and she looked at our pathetic excuse for a water still. And everybody in class was laughing. You guys are supposed to be the outdoorsmen. What a joke. You don't know what you're doing. Well, we couldn't put up with this. So what we did is that night, okay, 9 o'clock at night, sun had already gone down. We both showed up at all the water stills in the desert with the right equipment. And I mean right equipment. Well, we didn't have just a shovel. We had post hole diggers. We had a digging bar. We had painter's plastic, the kind you lay down, and we didn't bring just a little bucket. We brought one of those 5-gallon water coolers, and we had pretty much stripped our parents' shrubbery outside the houses, taking everything out there, and we built a water still on steroids. Okay, so the next day, when Mrs. Barker's going around saying, okay, let's see how much water your still's collected, and she says, that one looks good, and that one looks good. She came up to ours, and she said, ooh, this one, wait a minute. Yeah, but man, did we have a water still, okay? We edified that baby. It was weak. It was pathetic. We strengthened it. We made it something that would work, and that's what the word edify means. The church is God's means for you as a Christian just to be strengthened by the word of God, to be edified, to be built up. The local church is your hospital when you're just feeling down. And it's your gymnasium when you're already up. Either way, you need God's local church, Christian. It's for you. It's for your strength. Now, is the equipping and the edifying to be done by the apostles, evangelists, pastors, and teachers only? No, not at all. Romans 14:19, I'll read it to you. It says, therefore, Let us pursue things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. He's talking about all the members of the church, not just the pastor. We're supposed to edify and strengthen one another. And you know, one way in which you're edified at church is when you edify somebody else. Did you know that? It is a strengthening thing to be a blessing to somebody else. That's a strengthening thing for you. If you choose to be a scourge to somebody else and thereby make them weak, you'll get weak too. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another. See, not just the pastors, everybody. When you're at church, you have opportunity to offer comfort to others. Or you can offer pain. One edifies, one does not. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting, that means encouraging, exhorting one another. Do the things that you do and the things that you say at church stir up love and do good works? Or do you exhort people to anger and division? One edifies, one does not. You consider these three passages I just read that mention peace, edification, comfort, consideration, love, good works, exhortation. That is the fruit of what happens when a local church comes together for God's purpose, to build up the saints in the work of the Lord. That's what you get. In fact, one of the basic foundational principles that Christ taught for all believers is serve others, not yourself. Right? That's a basic primary principle. He taught that when he washed the disciples' feet. He taught that when he hung on the cross. He says, when he hung on the cross, he said, I'm serving you in a way you never could. I'm paying for your sin since you can't pay for it yourself. That's service. Church, the local church, is exactly where you learn and practice that principle of serve others above yourself. Do the things you do and say at church demonstrate you are here to be served or that you are here to serve? Serving others is investing in others that we all may grow, and that's the purpose of the local church. How many times have I heard Christians say, what would I do without my church family? I just am so glad for my church family. You know, so many of us have both our immediate families and our church families, both of which we're thankful for. You may not have had the upbringing I had. Some of you have had difficult upbringing. Some of you have come from broken homes, in which case you can thank God you have your local church family. We need each other for spiritual strength. So for the believer, no, church is not optional any more than your food is optional. And yes, it's risky to invest in church, and you're going to get hurt sometimes. People will bite you and hurt you, and that's true. But you'll be growing so strong in the process, you'll handle the hurts while you enjoy the blessings of your local church. It is worth the investment. Now, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, remember, he died for you, but he also rose and lives for you, because only Christ could. Without Jesus Christ, people are naturally just separated from God, and it's our sin that does it, and God is perfect, and therefore we're not, and because of that, sin separates us. And so Jesus Christ closes that gap by reaching down to us with his own life, paying with his own life, and paying for our penalty of sin. And then he says, if he offers himself to you as the payment for sin, if you'll accept him by faith and faith alone, there's nothing you can do to earn your way to heaven. Christ earned it for you. You can simply receive it by trusting in Christ. You do so, you're part of God's universal church forevermore. You'll go to heaven. You can trust Christ right where you sit. And if that describes you and you are not part of a local church, become part of a local church. We'd invite you to check us out. We'd love you to be part of ours. We are not a perfect church, okay? Because we are people, and we're still sinners, and we're no better than anybody else. But we serve a perfect Christ, serve a perfect Savior, and he encourages us through his word and through each other as we practice his word, and we'd invite you to become part of that.